Welcome, everybody, to the Magic Beans podcast. I am your host for today. My name is Shorty, and welcome to our very first episode. Glad that you could join us today. I am joined by a whole bunch of beans, and here with me, I have Scott, the Blaster Boy. How are you going, Scott?
Very good, thank you.
That's the way. We also have Chewy.
Going pumped to record this podcast.
Good to hear. Me too. Pretty excited. Finally getting around to it. And we also have Joel, or Cracker, as we occasionally call him. How's it going, Cracker?
Very well. Don't play with fireworks, boys. That's all I'll say about that.
I'm sure we'll hear more about that another time. So, yeah. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this first episode. Like Chewy said, we're pretty excited about this. This is something that we've been speaking about as a group for quite a while, a number of years, actually. And we're finally getting around to do it. I think Scott has forced us all into this, but we're glad to get started on it.
And
hopefully you'll be hearing a lot more from us. So as I mentioned, this is our very first episode, new to podcasts for all of us. But hopefully we'll do a pretty good job and you'll come back and listen to us a little bit more. If we do end up with any American or UK listeners, I'm sure you will have noticed my horrible accent. That's right. We are recording from Australia, Melbourne, Australia, to be exact. So hopefully you can understand us and I don't mumble too much. I'm sure anyone that listens to us that actually knows us in person will be used to my mumbling voice, but I'm sure we'll try and do a pretty good job as we go along through the cast. So, yeah, coming from Australia, there's not too much going on in terms of the podcast scene here. There's been a couple of podcasts over the last few years that have sort of come and gone. And, yeah, we're sort of hoping to fill that void and bring you some content from the land down under. So today we're just going to have a little bit of a chat, introduce you to ourselves and to the podcast, let you know what you can expect from us going forward. So, yeah, I'm going to pass over to Scott now. And he's going to give us a bit of a rundown of sort of what our plans are, where we're going, and what you can expect from us. So take it away, Scott.
Thanks, mate. I think pretty much what we want to do at this stage is get a podcast together just talking about Magic the Gathering from a casual perspective. We do have a couple of people here, Chewy, Shorty, that we'd probably more classify as casual competitive players. I think if they had more time up their sleeves, they'd probably go and do a lot more playing and be a lot more competitive.
Yes, that's right.
But I do a lot more playing. I don't know if it'd be much more competitive.
from my perspective, I'm an absolute noob. I play occasionally here and there. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But basically what we want to get from this podcast is just general discussions about collecting cards, how to get yourself prepared for tournaments, and that's probably where we'll turn more towards the experienced players in the podcast for that. And also, I want to sort of use this podcast to try and get a little bit more experience for myself as well. So to move away from the decks that I'm playing a lot at the moment, which is your very basic mono red type deck.
Nothing wrong with Chandra.
Absolutely.
M20's proving that already, right?
Yeah, that's right. The more Chandras, the merrier.
So, yeah, anything to do with Chandra, I'm in. Anything to do with Mono Red, I'm usually in. But I would like to branch away from that if possible. So, and that's where I'm probably going to call on you guys to give me a little bit of guidance, tell me little tasks I can perform. Hopefully between each podcast, I'll go off and I'll have a little bit of a challenge, use that time to work on something different, and then report back on that in our next podcast.
What I would like to do eventually is have Scott go to an FNM, have Scott go to an MCQ, and then my ultimate goal would be for Scott to play at a GP, one of the two a year that we're lucky to get in Vegas, Australia. Right?
It's got to be in Vegas.
Yeah. I will travel to Vegas just for you, right? Yeah. No other reason, but just for you.
but yeah, that's basically what we want to try and get out of this podcast. So I think going forward, it'll be a very casual, laid-back type approach to the Magic community, and just delving on some experiences that we're all having. And I think probably, as we sort of said before we started the podcast tonight, was a lot of us don't have the time to go out and play as much as we would probably like to. And so hopefully we'll be able to put some of that love back into this podcast.
Yeah, that's right. As you said, a lot of us are quite time poor, which you'll hear about in our sort of background stories and origins. But I think that's the case for a lot of people in similar situations to us. As you'll hear, some of us have been playing Magic for a very long time, and we've sort of grown up, I guess, gotten careers, had families, kids, all that sort of stuff. We live busy lives, but Magic is something that we always come back to and we all love. I listen to countless Magic podcasts every day because it's just such a great game that we really enjoy it, but we don't have the time to play regularly. And I think there's a lot of people in our similar situation that live similar lives to us. And, you know, I think we can fill that void in the world out there where we can tell other people how we handle that, how we find the time to get out to tournaments and, keep involved in the scene and keep up to date with things that are going on and all that sort of stuff. It's, you hear a lot of content from very competitive players. And it was mentioned before that, especially for me and Chewy and Cracker to some extent, we are what we would consider competitive players, but we just don't have the time to play regularly. So how do you deal with that when you're a competitive person and you really want to win and get out there to a tournament and prove that you can do it and, you know, potentially get to a Mythic Championship or something like that? How do you deal with that when you're very, very time poor and struggling just to get out of the house sometimes? So, that's our sort of, I guess, idea of where we're coming from with this podcast.
Yeah, and hopefully one of our strategies might be something new to someone in a similar situation. And yeah, right. by listening to us, they might get to, play a little bit more Magic, which is awesome. That's the goal, right? Play more Magic.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Any way that we can give a little bit of information to someone that helps them find a little bit more time or get more out of their time is probably a better way to put it. Then that's great. That's what we want. So if that fits your description, then welcome on board. Hopefully you'll learn a few things, and maybe one day we can get that feedback from you and you can help us too. We never know. Our sort of plan with the podcast is, like Scott said, a little bit more laid back and casual. We don't have the time, as we've already mentioned multiple times, to be doing it every single week, but our plan is to do it once a fortnight. So if we can consistently keep to once a fortnight, put out a podcast, keep everybody up to date, and we'll have regular topics every week to go through that we'll do our research on and bring you some good quality content. And we will talk about a little bit about the sort of what's going on in the actual competitive Magic scene sometimes. But we'd prefer to stick to helpful, useful topics, things that we've learned, things that we can help other people improve on, that fits in a bit more with what our actual experience is in terms of playing Magic. So anyone else got anything to add to any of that?
Oh, I know I've listened to plenty of podcasts in the past which have been very pro sort of orientated, like you mentioned before, and the stuff those guys talk about go way over my head. So I'm looking forward to being part of a podcast where we're not only going to touch on some of those things as well, but we're also going to try and keep it more of a layman's type podcast. That I'm actually looking forward to.
Yeah, and one thing we've discussed previously sort of off air is that a common issue with competitive podcasts that you listen to is they don't take the time to actually explain things that not everybody knows, and you know what cards actually do and how certain interactions work and things like that. So we'd like to be a little bit lower level, I guess. Maybe that's the term that I might use. It's probably not the most accurate one, but that'll do. Just to sort of make sure everybody knows what's going on. And speaking of that, if you're listening to this podcast and you have no idea what on earth we're talking about a game called Magic the Gathering. So this is a card game. And if you're any of our friends that know us, you would have seen us playing this pretty regularly. But
I thought this was Division 2. I'm on the wrong podcast.
Sorry. Yeah, no. Well, you can leave now. Go find another one. But Magic the Gathering is the name of the game. It is a card game. Chewy, I think you've always done a pretty good job of describing what Magic is.
It's a fantasy card game, which it's actually way cooler than that sounds.
We all dress up when we play it?
Yeah, and no, we don't. So it's the best way I've described it to people who've never heard of it before is a cross between poker and chess. So you have poker skills, so figuring out what cards are in play, what your opponent might have, getting reads on your opponent. But instead of 52 cards, there's like 20,000 cards. And then you have the strategic element like chess where you need to, try to win the game on the board. So it's more complicated than poker and more complicated than chess, but you've got like elves and dragons and, all sorts of mythical creatures, and it's pretty cool. Yeah. And yeah, you can compete in tournaments. There are a number of levels of tournaments right from playing at your kitchen table with your friends to playing in the Mythic Championship, where there was an exhibition Mythic Championship earlier this year that had $1 million US prize pool. So, it's a really fun game to play with your friends, but there's also, a high stakes aspect to it as well. So it just makes it the best game in the world.
Yeah, and one of the things that makes it the best game in the world is you've got the strategy aspect to it, with building your deck and playing and all that sort of stuff. But there is also a element of randomness to it, of variance, as gets spoken about quite regularly, in that you build your deck that you use to play your games with, but you're shuffling that deck up and then basically drawing the cards at random. So it's a game like chess and even poker to some extent. I'm not an expert on poker, pretty horrible at it, but chess, definitely there's only a finite number of moves that can be made. And when a move is made, then the next person can make their move based on their strategies and that sort of stuff. And this game is very different from that, but it has similar sort of elements to it. There's also the fact that Wizards of the Coast, the company that makes Magic the Gathering, they keep printing new cards every few months.
20 which, minutes.
Yeah, which suckers like us just keep buying and buying and buying. So
there was an article that came out maybe a month ago, and there was a game design company who declared Magic as the world's most complex game. So every other board game and card game out there had a finite number of decisions and a finite number of moves, like Shorty said about chess. Like chess is that known quantity. But with Magic, because you have that element of variance, there is no algorithm that exists that can make Magic, a computer could never beat a human in that sense, because there's too many decision points. So, and that's something that's makes the game incredible, because we can talk for 20 minutes on, the pros and cons of one play. I'll have a little plug for our YouTube channel right now. I was so excited about recording this that I put a short video, three rounds, up onto YouTube. We'll put the links on the website. But anyway, I bounced a Basilica Bellhaunt. So a Basilica Bellhaunt, for those who don't know, is a flyer that when it comes into play, you gain life and your opponent discards a card. I used one of my...
It doesn't fly.
It doesn't fly?
It doesn't fly.
Read the card. It's really important. The word haunt made me think it was a ghost and flew. But anyway, I bounced that with my Teferi Time Reveler Planeswalker, and which meant that my opponent could cast it again, and I would have to discard another card. But I bounced it with Teferi, and his bounce ability is to draw a card. So I got to keep my planeswalkers because I got 3 power off the battlefield. And I also drew a card knowing that I was going to have to discard a card again. So there's a lot of complexity to that decision, and we won't get into that particularly. But my point is I made one play, and we could talk at length on that and to know and to find out whether or not that was actually the correct play or not. So yeah, maybe we'll save things like that for another episode once Scott gets a bit more advanced. But
yeah, I think Scott's gone to sleep now.
Wake up, Scott.
But yeah, so, like Chewy said, if you want to watch and see what on earth he's talking about, then you can jump on our YouTube channel, which we'll link on our website and in the show notes for the podcast. And yeah, hopefully we'll be putting up a bit more content up on there over the coming weeks. So you can watch us and listen to our lovely voices again as we play most likely some Magic Arena, which seems to be the big thing at the moment, the most convenient way to play.
Mm.
But yeah, like Chewy was saying, the game is extremely complicated, but it's also you can play it at a very basic level, which, no offense, Scott, that's how Scott plays. I'm sure he would not dispute that.
No.
So the game is complex, but it's actually fundamentally very simple, right? Like, yes, I have a 10-year-old daughter, and I've taught her how to play, and she loves it. So she's been playing against Shorty's daughter. They challenge each other directly on Arena. Yeah. And so, like, sure, you can have the most complicated game in the world, but if you spend a little bit of time and keep it simple, you know, you've got, like, my daughter has a mono green deck, and I went, what do you want to build? There's 5 colors of Magic. And she's like, I want big green dinosaurs and things. I'm like, cool. So we went through my collection of cards, and we pulled out just a bunch of not particularly good, very simple cards with, you know, maybe one keyword like trample or vigilance or something like that, and just kept it really simple, and she loves it. And so we sit down, mostly she's trying to get out of going to bed, and she's like, hey dad, can we play some Magic? I'm like, yes, but also no, because you need to go to bed. Ah, clever chick. So anyway, and she loves it, right?
I learned quickly.
Arena is really hooked her in as well. She really likes the way that, you know, it kind of all flashes into, you know, her favorite card is Vivian Reed, because, you know, she wanted that as her avatar. And so when she found out she had a mythic wild card and she could get a Vivian Reed, she did. She loved it. So it's really cool that you can kind of lean into the game as hard as you want. Now, there are pros that will talk about it and say it could just be blank pieces of cardboard with rules text on it, right? And then you get other people who are, you know, they're classed as Vorthos and they just love the story and the art. And, you know, there are people that cosplay and stuff. And that's why it's the best game to me, is that, you know, like I really identify with doing some things more than others, like drawing cards, because that's just the
everybody
most fun.
Loves drawing cards.
Everybody loves drawing cards. I particularly like drawing my cards out of the graveyard.
Yes, you do. Well, while you're sort of talking about bit about your background, Joel, our main topic for today, we're going to do basically our origin story. So we figured let's kick this podcast off, first episode. Anyone who's out there listening, you've got basically no idea who we are. We're just some voices coming to you through your speakers. Let's give you a bit of a rundown on who we are, how long we've been playing Magic, you know, family background, you know, whatever we want to give, any sort of information, just to sort of get ourselves out there, so that as the podcast continues, you sort of know who's who, where their strengths and weaknesses are, all that sort of stuff. So, Joel, you're already halfway through yours, so if you want to continue with that.
Okay. So I don't remember exactly the first time I saw Magic in terms of the year, but it was early in high school. So we're talking like 96, 97, somewhere in that kind of era. And I remember some dudes playing in the science classroom who were the typical nerds, and they had slivers. And like the whole thing was very cool and intrigued me. The first time I actually sat down and played was with some pre-cons from 8th edition. So that's 2003. I am cheating by looking up when sets came out because I don't remember that long ago. One of my mates was like, hey, I got given these starter decks by a dude who owns a game shop. Do you want to play? And I was like, that sounds awesome. And it was literally like the way they did the pre-cons back then was the deck was stacked so that you could actually learn how to play. Because there was, like, 2003, like there was no YouTube. The internet was barely a thing, right, for content or anything like that. And we had no idea how to go looking for it or anything. So it literally was like this is an island, play an island. This taps for mana, you can play things. And so like we went through and eventually just kind of learned how to play. And so I played through the Mirrodin block with, you know, Darksteel and Fifth Dawn and lost to Tinker Colossus is more than I care to remember.
this played, was down in Tassie?
No, this was here. This was in Melbourne. So this was with I first learned with Peebs actually.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah. And yeah, then I played through the first bit of the Champions Betrayers block and then kind of just fell out of it, you know, like didn't have a lot of money and people were spending a lot of money because that's because what happens with Magic. And it just kind of got super competitive and I was just married. And so I, you know, kind of stopped because I was, you know, a new husband and all that kind of fun stuff. And then these nerds convinced me that, hey, this is pretty sweet. And so
which nerds would that be?
Well, I mean, they're a bunch. Everyone I know are nerds, right? Yes. But you so the guy that actually... You could call them beans. And maybe we should explain that, right?
One day.
One day, all right. So I've played most of my Magic as kitchen table, right? I worked with a guy for like 10 years and we would just play at lunch. So we had cards. When a set came out, we might buy like a fat pack, it was called then. You know, you get like 10 boosters or something like that and we'd pull out whatever sweet things we could and build things. And, you know, we built tiny leaders decks when that was a thing, if anyone remembers. It lasted not very long at all.
Yeah.
They were 40 card decks with no card worth more than 3 CMC. So, and it was like a commander as well. So it was kind of fun. But, and then mostly commander is probably what I've played the most of. And I really enjoy that format. You know, like multiplayer is just a lot of fun. It's for me.
Politics is awesome. Yeah.
Politics. Yeah. It's just great. You know, like I just enjoy sitting down at a table playing games.
Killing Shorty. No.
No.
Yes, yes. I'm definitely almost always to be killed.
you combo off one time and everyone remembers, man.
That's right.
That's all that happens. So that's kind of where, you know, my history is. And I'm pretty filthy casual. And, you know, as I was saying before, I have a nearly 11-year-old, I've got a 7-year-old boy, and I've got a 2-year-old boy as well. So I have 3 kids, happily married, but, you know, I am poor in every sense of the word. Because if you don't have children, they're very expensive.
Yeah.
And
you have one modern deck?
I do have one modern deck, and it is Living End. So I built Living End. Man, when did we start playing again? The first time I sort of – the first pre-release I went to was for Fate Reforged. So going back just a few years now. And, yeah, Shorty and Chewy were convincing me to, like, come play again because we'd been playing a bit and just, yeah, went to a pre-release and just had heaps of fun. And that's been it. So I kind of just got – suck it in and started playing a bunch then, and then they're like, oh, you should start playing some modern, because everyone was playing modern at the time with these guys. And so I found some people playing Living End on YouTube, and I was like, oh, that looks sweet. So I slowly built the deck and put it all together, and I still love it. Unfortunately, it's horribly positioned right now.
there's a slightly better graveyard deck.
There is. Scott, do you know what Living End is?
Nope, no idea.
All right, so basically the entire deck is built around a card that has no converted mana cost called Living End, right? The deck is named after the card. And what it says is when you cast it, and I'll tell you how you do that in a second, when you cast Living End, you exile all the creatures that are in your graveyard, and then you sacrifice all creatures that are on the battlefield, and then all the creatures that were exiled this way into the battlefield. So basically, you swap any creatures you've got on the battlefield with the creatures in your graveyard. Uh-huh. And so the whole way that this deck works is that you cycle creatures. So you put down lands, and then there are a whole stack of creatures that will say, like, pay a red or a black. And basically what you do is you discard the card and draw another card. And so they're usually huge. They're like, you know, 6/6s and, you know, like 4/4s and 5/5s and just like big things that were a lot bigger than most of the other stuff that previously was being cast. And then you have these spells called cascade spells. And cascade is a keyword that says, when you cast this spell, you reveal cards from the top of your library until you find a card with a lesser converted mana cost. So basically, there's like two main cascade spells in the version I play, and they both cost 3 mana. So that means that every card in the deck costs more than 3 mana, except for Living End. And so you cast this for free instead of having to suspend it. And basically, you can play it as like an instant speed board wipe, and then you bring back all your creatures. So it's kind of like a one-sided Wrath of God effect. And you can usually just unload massive amounts of damage. And it's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of play to it, and there's parts of like...
Fun for you.
It is.
That's why we play Magic. We don't care if it's fun for the other person. Chewie, favorite deck.
Sort of.
I've played against Shorty enough to realize that he's enjoying it for himself.
Yeah, correct.
It's actually a really interesting deck to play against because it's not like most.
It's not real Magic.
it's not the traditional. You know, I'm going to play 1 to 2 spells a turn, and I'm going to play a creature and attack you with it, and I've got this thing to kill your creature. It plays the game from a completely different angle, and that makes it really interesting to play against. It makes it really easy to really interesting to play with and against. So it's a sweet deck.
Yeah. And yep. that kind of set off my love affair with returning things from the graveyard that, you know, shouldn't be. And so we've got another Bean who's not with us tonight, but his name is Chris. And Chris has a wonderful collection of cards that he lets us borrow. And we've played some
just
Legacy.
A small collection of cards.
Yeah, Chris has been playing for less time than most of us. And, well, I mean, his house is a card shop, right?
Yeah, basically.
And he's generous and lets us, you know, borrow them. And so I've played like Black Red Reanimator in Legacy. And let me tell you, people, if you haven't had a turn one Gristlebrand, then you're just not living. That is just some of the dirtiest things you can do in Magic. It's fantastic.
So certainly is.
We won't talk about Legacy because that's just...
No. None of us are Legacy experts.
Not even close. But it's
somebody else.
Correct. But it's a lot of fun. And, you know, I love the game. It's just like we're going to probably catch up on the weekend and hopefully play some Commander and, you know, do some other things. And it's just sweet to be able to, you know, see what nonsense you can get up to and just hang out with friends. That's what I like about it.
Cool. Sounds good. All right. Chewie, how about you give us a bit of a rundown on your background?
So mine probably a little different to Joel, but the common thread is that I want to echo Joel's last point there, that the time that you get to hang out with your mates is really one of the things that keeps me coming back to this game. It's what brought me back. It's what got me into the game in the first place. And if we travel to, you know, to a GP or something together, it's always an amazing time that that we have. And like Joel said, we'll catch up on the weekend and play. And I'm really looking forward to that, just sitting around drinking coffee and jamming some games. But winding back the clock a long, long time ago, I'd recently moved to Melbourne and I was at my now brother-in-law's house, and he and Shorty and a couple of others were playing some Onslaught era tribal decks, and they went, "Hey, you should try this game." And I got handed this, I think from memory, black-white clerics list, and I was like, "Yep, yeah, sweet game." Didn't mind it. Everyone kept playing. I was kind of lukewarm on it, and then I found out that there was tournaments, and I was like, "Oh, I can compete at this game." Got really into it. Started off with the pre-con decks from Fifth Dawn, I believe, or around that era, and went to my first tournament in 2004 and with a pre-con, basically, and had a great time, met, you know, lots of cool people, and that was when I really got hooked on the sort of competitive side of things. And I got right into it then. I started off playing, you know, once a fortnight and then once a week. And then as I got more and more into it, I found that, you know, the more effort I put in, the more I got out of it. and I wanted to see how well I could go. And yeah, I ended up going to a Grand Prix in Brisbane. And I was actually excited because there was a sanctioned legacy event on the Sunday. So I thought, I'll just jump in the main event. It was Lawensealed. Went undefeated on day one with a little asterisk on that. That's a story for another day. But I ended up finishing 15th. And back then, that was in 2008, so after 4 years of playing the game, top 16 Grand Prix. And then that was good enough to qualify for a Pro Tour. So I played in Pro Tour KL in 2008, and that was awesome. That's kind of like the pinnacle of my Magic career so far as competitive play. It was awesome. I did not make day two, but I had an awesome time. I met John Finkel, which was awesome. So Scott, if you don't know who John Finkel is, if Magic...
I think Michael Jordan.
Yeah, if Magic the Gathering has a Michael Jordan, it's John Finkel. Yeah, it's the Don Bradman of Magic. That only Australians would get that reference, maybe English. So that was awesome. And then I got married I was married at that point. But anyway, I kind of got to a point where I was...
That's less important than the PT, though.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of got to a point where I was so into the competitive scene that I was kind of forsaking other aspects of my life. Had to make the call to wind back on Magic a bit and concentrate on being a husband and a friend. So I took a bit of a break, still sort of played online for a few years. And then a couple of years ago, Shorty was like, I just finished playing Australian rules football. Shorty just finished playing American football, gridiron. And, you know, because we're old and our bodies weren't up to it anymore. Shorty was like, well, what do you reckon about, you know, playing Magic again? You know, you had fun doing that. I'm thinking about getting into it. I wouldn't mind being competitive. He didn't need to ask me twice. I've been back into it since. So that was, I think, a modern Grand Prix. And then we started playing locally. And through just having groups of us together, played Commander for the first time recently. And that's a lot of fun. And we maybe once a year, if we're lucky, we get to head off to a Grand Prix, whether it's in our hometown of Melbourne or somewhere else around Australia. We'll drive or fly up. Shorty and I qualified for nationals last year, the last Nats, not through any particularly good performances overall, just being actually playing a lot, and that was a lot of fun as well. So I guess the Magic for me now has... I'm competitive in my nature and I want to do well, but it's gone from an individual pursuit to a group pursuit. I've seen Chris, who we talked about before, Chris Library of Alexandria, our mate.
How many of those does he own?
That's a very old card, one of the Power Nine.
It's Scott, extremely expensive.
I've watched him go from some, just like yourself, Scott, someone who was like, oh yeah, I like this game, I've never really pursued it, to we were there when he won his first tournament, and you know, we've played in Grand Prix with him in a team Grand Prix, and watched him grow and flourish, and I've absolutely loved that. I've loved, you know, Shorty and I pushing each other and trying to get better. I've loved Joel dipping his toe into the competitive scene as well, because he's figured out that he's actually pretty good at it. And another being Stu, who's like hook, line and sinker into it as well. And unfortunately couldn't make it to the last MCQ, but he's keen to get into that. So I really enjoyed watching other people grow and learn. And like I said, it's a group pursuit, and I'm having more fun now than ever. So that's pretty much my Magic origin story. Cool. me as a human, I'm married, as I mentioned. I've got two kids, two girls, my youngest girl, the Bowman Tribe Scout, if I'm the Bowman Tribe Elder, another card reference, is 7 weeks old this week. So, basically got a newborn and trying to figure out how to get to Magic tournaments and play with my friends whilst I'm sleep deprived and obviously have responsibilities at home. So that's me. So Shorty, you are kind of the reason that I or part of the reason that I got into this game. So so mine goes
pretty much
2004, which is the instigator you are So pre 2004, pre me getting in, you were already playing the game. So I'll hand over to you.
Yep. Yeah. So I tried to work out exactly when I started playing, but I'm pretty sure the first time I saw Magic cards was from another friend of ours named Shane, who still occasionally plays. I think he played Commander with us a couple of weeks ago. But they would have been like Urza's Block, Tempest, somewhere around then, which is sort of 96, 97, 98, somewhere around then. Just randomly he had some decks and showed us the game. I'm pretty sure we were completely playing the game wrong. We're doing things like, which I still see Scott do all the time and I pull him up on it, but tapping your creatures to block when someone attacks and just little things like that. We had no idea really what we were doing. But we had a sort of a vague idea of the rules and that was about it. But we sort of didn't really know what we were doing. So, yeah, that would have been 97, 98, somewhere around then. Not long after then, I would have got gone to a local card shop. Grew up sort of Ballarat, about an hour and a half away from Melbourne. There's a card shop there. So, one day sort of went in there, picked up a few random cards, me and my brothers, and started playing a few games. So the first booster packs I remember buying were from Odyssey, which, looking at Wikipedia, came out in 2001. So that's when I sort of actually started playing and, you know, bought cards, bought sleeves. Back then it was all clear sleeves, so it all looked horrible. Binders, putting cards in binders and trying to keep collections. Even back then, actually, I remember being interested in the finance side of it, and that's one thing we will touch on in future podcasts, and probably Chris will be our hashtag MTG finance person, seeing as he spends the most money on it. But even back then, for me it was, you know, this game was really cool and it was a challenge. There was, you know, that competitive side of it. I have three younger brothers, so everything was a competition. There was that side of it, but also the thought that, oh, hang on, this cardboard is actually worth money. And if I can, you know, open a booster pack and get this certain card, it's worth a lot of money. So then I can sell it and buy more cards, and it just feeds into the habit. That's how it goes. Not actually making any money of it, just putting it all back into more cards. So, yeah, would have played pretty casually for a few years up until around about the time that Chewy sort of came on the scene and saw us playing just some random decks. But my first actual tournament, I looked it up in my Planeswalker points, and my first tournament was an FNM in 2006. And we were discussing this in the sort of pre-show. My first 10 or so tournaments, I think I won one round out of 10 tournaments. I was absolutely horrible. I actually remember my first deck that I took to an FNM. And Chewy, you actually played, you'd been playing tournaments before then. You'd sort of got me back into it, into actually wanting to play tournaments. But it was this just absolute garbage green black Mortivore deck where I was trying to mill myself to make my stupid creature bigger. And it was the worst plan ever, and I had no idea, and I'm running one of this and two of this and all that sort of stuff, just no concept of how to actually build a deck. Pretty safe to say that was not a good result. But from there, pretty quickly learnt, oh, hang on, there's a whole other side to this game that I hadn't considered before, which was the, you know, the full strategy side and sort of learning how to build a deck, why we run 60 cards instead of 61 cards and all that sort of stuff. And that just, that completely hooked me in. I love a puzzle. I love problem solving, that sort of thing. And Magic just completely hits that itch. So, for the space of 2.5 or so years, me and Chewy, we were, tournaments basically every week. I was single at the time. I think Chewy, you were at least dating, but Magic was definitely most of our lives at that point in time. And like Chewy said before, we did a lot of traveling, played in a lot of the old school PTQs, going up to road trips up to Canberra to play in nationals and things like that. So for the space of about 2.5 years, I was pretty into it. And then a block called Lorwyn came out, and it ruined all my fun. I look back on it now and I actually really like Lore. Flavor was really cool and some of the cards are like crazy powerful still, but it just spoiled all my fun. And the decks that I'd been playing just in the space of from today, new set releases, and all of a sudden my decks are completely invalidated. It just, I don't know, rubbed me up the wrong way or something. And I just went, nah, that's it, I'm done. So I actually quit Magic. I sold all my cards, my entire collection that I had, which I really regret now because I would have made a lot more money if I had have hung on to them.
You rage quit, didn't
you? I did. I pretty much rage quit, yeah. Like I actually remember I played a PTQ and just went horrible. And then played an FNM, and then that was it. I distinctly remember playing at that FNM just going, this sucks. they've spoiled all my fun. And I'm pretty much
For Scott's benefit, there was a deck that came out of the Lorwyn block that was a blue-black fairies deck. And you either played fairies or you were wrong in that format. Yes. And there's a card called Bitter Blossom, which is still a powerful card in the modern format today. It played a whole bunch of creatures, a synergy-based tempo deck. It played a lot of cheap creatures. It had a lot of interaction, and it was just obscenely powerful and way more powerful than any other strategy that the format could actually put together. So similar to when I started playing, a lot of players stopped playing when the affinity mechanic was first introduced in the Mirrodin block, and that put a lot of players off when something was obscenely powerful. The same sort of thing happened with fairy. So you weren't alone there, Shorty. You weren't.
No, and I think that's, if people of a similar age to us who've been playing Magic for a long time would probably have similar experiences at some point in their Magic playing lifespan. The way the structure of Magic works, with sets being released all the time, you can get attached to a deck or a format, and then all of a sudden half of your deck rotates out of the format and all these new cards come in, and it's like, oh, I've got to start from scratch. I've got to buy all these new cards and whatever. And it can be very frustrating. And if that comes at a time in someone's life when, you know, they're a little bit short on money or short on time or whatever, yeah, you can see why people would stop that sort of thing. So, and like I said, the one of the things that attracted me to Magic was that the cards were actually worth money. So the fact that I could go, all right, I'm done playing for now, and I could sell my cards and make a bunch of money at that time, that was, that was pretty good for me. So, so that was 2008. 2008.
For anyone who doesn't know. Cryptic in Lorwyn, man. I don't blame you for quitting when Cryptic. Yeah. Filthy card that is.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Planeswalkers, right? Lorwyn was the first.
Yeah, Planeswalkers were introduced. Yeah. Mythics.
That was the first Chandra, Scott. First Chandra.
Yeah.
Do you think Wizards picked up on that sort of stuff going on and made adjustments, or?
It still happens.
Okay. Yeah.
No, probably not. Like especially now, they're a lot. They try to be a lot more careful, compared to back. Yeah, we're talking over 10 years ago sort of thing, but it does still happen. Even in the last few years, there's been bannings in the formats and things like that that really shouldn't, you know, the cards probably shouldn't have been printed. They should have picked up on those things beforehand. But
yeah, the Kaladesh block is a pretty good example of recent Magic that went horribly wrong.
Yeah, right? That's right. Yep.
What they did there, wrong, Scott, just for anyone who wasn't playing back then, they printed a mechanic called energy and they printed no way to interact with that. So you had energy as a resource and no way to interact with it. Yep. And then you could basically do broken things with it, like cast giant monsters on turn four that took over your opponent's next turn and basically made the game unlosable. So, yeah, they have recently, after that, they kind of tried to learn their lesson and they've got a bunch of experienced players, ex-professional players, and they've got their play design.
Yeah, play design team.
So, well, yeah, I guess we'll wait to see what the results of that are. We've only just seen sets now.
Yeah, I mean, so far it seems pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. All right. For anyone who also hasn't picked up on it, if Shorty and I were Magic cards, we'd have keyword old.
Hang on. You're 2 years older than me. And also Scott is older than all of us. So.
Hey, watch us, buddy.
Wait, am I the youngest one on the cast at the moment?
At the moment, yeah. I think Stu might be younger than you. But...
Yeah, Stu is younger than me. Yeah. So is Chris.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, either way, we are all 30 plus. We'll just leave it at that.
Yes.
So yeah, I had a bit of a break. I had a few years off, came back, played a random pre-release, had another few years off, and it wasn't till 2015, which is basically when Joel and Chewy, you'd sort of kept playing sort of on and off through that period a little bit, but I'd sold all my cards. I didn't have any sort of need on them or need for them. So it wasn't until 2015 that, yeah, randomly out of nowhere, it was like, well, yeah, we've got nothing better to do when there's a Dragons of Tarkir pre-release, so let's go and play that. And that was pretty much it. I'm sort of back into the game and been sort of fairly solid playing since then. So it's been mentioned a bunch of times already that we don't get out that often to play, but we can usually get out to a pre-release and sort of the bigger events, that sort of thing. We recently went and played in the Melbourne MCQ a few weeks ago. We all did reasonably at that. We may talk about that a little bit later, but yeah, we've had periods over those last few years where we've been able to go and play F&Ms, you know, for a few weeks in a row, or play like a Tuesday night at a local store or something like that. But we're not playing every week, you know, we're at the store all the time, that sort of stuff. We have lives and careers and families and that sort of thing. So, and I think, to be honest, my story probably pretty closely mirrors a lot of people that would be a similar age to me, where they played as they were as a kid casually, they got into it competitively, and then life got busy and they sold up and got out, and they come back in for a little bit and they get busy again and get out and then come back in. And I guess people, once you get to a certain point in your life, like, which is where we're all at basically now, we're a bit more settled. We've got careers, so we have money, some money, some more than others. But we're not, you know, living day-to-day sort of thing, just eating two-minute noodles and trying to survive. So we have some sort of disposable income. We've got a little bit of time. For those of us with kids, they're, you know, getting a little bit older, that sort of thing. So we're at that stage in our life where we can get back into a hobby like this that, in reality, like Chewy was talking about before, for us, a lot of it is just the social aspect where we get together with a bunch of mates and we sit down and play games and we're having a chat and drinking cups of tea and coffee and whatever and just have sort of having a good time. And then every now and then we get to go out and spend a Saturday playing a tournament or drive up to Sydney or go to Brisbane or whatever to play something bigger. That's sort of more where we're at now, which I think, yeah, probably for a lot of people that are in our age group, it's pretty similar. So, but yeah, that's my sort of Magic history. Been over the last few years playing fairly regularly to some success, nothing major, done, you know, reasonable, but I'm pretty sure my win percentage overall would be pretty horrible. But yeah, love the game, love playing, listen to podcasts all day, every day. That's I spend a lot of time in the car, so I consume a lot of Magic content. And yeah, just that constant challenge of new cards, new sets, that sort of thing just keeps me coming back. So that's my Magic side personally. Yep, similar to the other guys, I'm married, I've got two kids and a third on the way. As Joel mentioned, my daughter, who's now 8, she learnt to play when she was 6, I think. And for her, honestly, it was a big motivation to learn how to read. She saw me gold fishing, which is when you sort of have a practice game against yourself, which sounds really stupid, but it's something that a lot of Magic players do. She saw me doing that and wanted to know what I was doing and wanted to play. And I had to say to her, look, you know, let's play. We started off playing Snap with lands and things like that and playing memory games and whatever. And I was like, well, if you want to play the game, you need to learn how to read. And for her, that was a big motivator to learn how to read. And yeah, built her a deck and we play. We've played a couple of two-headed giant events together, which is, yeah, good fun. She gets pretty bored, but that's not surprising for an 8-year-old that's playing against 30-year-olds. But yeah, it's been good fun. But yeah, busy. Life's busy, work's busy, family's busy, another kid on the way. So, yeah, finding that spare time to get out to play tournaments is quite hard, which is where something like the advent of Magic Arena is pretty handy for us. And I think that's something that we'll discuss pretty regularly, and especially with you, Scott, how Arena has affected how we're able to play games, mm-hmm. how it affects how we're able to learn and improve at the game and something like that. And for you, who's, I think you mentioned earlier pre-cast that you've played 2 tournaments in your life.
Unsuccessfully, yeah. I might add.
Yes, yes. That's all right. I started in the same way. Arena is something that it has definitely changed the way that people in our situation are able to play Magic and definitely for the better, absolutely for the better. So that's my background, my origin story. So that sort of lead into you, Scott. You're the new player. You've been playing for a few years, sort of very casually, but only a couple of tournaments under your belt. But yeah, give us a bit of your background of how you got into it and how long you've been going for and all that sort of stuff.
All right. Well, as Shorty alluded to, I am very old, so everyone take a comfortable seat because it's a long one. There's a lot of years to talk about. But basically, my background is more I'm a gamer. I love PC console gaming. That's pretty much where I spend most of my time. Magic's always been a bit of a seasonal thing for me. I went back to find out when I first got back into Magic properly, and even when I say properly, I mean very rarely would I play. But I think it was the Origin deck that came out in 2015, I think it was, somewhere around that time.
I remember playing Origins draft with you.
Yeah, for sure. I remember I dragged one of the guys I used to work with down to a store in the city.
Yep,
and
I remember this.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I convinced him to buy some Origin cards as well, because he'd played Magic as well many years ago when he was young. And I thought, all right, we'll give it a go. And I loved it. And I think we played nonstop for about probably 3 or 4 months, just always at work, just sitting around during our lunch break. We'd have a few games. And that was where I found my real love for mono red aggro, which was always what I play. Because it's easy. Yeah, just goblins. That's all I care about. Just give me goblins and a couple of chandras, and then I'm pretty happy. Yeah. So, from a Magic perspective, I would play it was irregular. Most of my time was spent PC or console gaming, and that's pretty much the way it is even now. I've always loved that side of it. And if it wasn't gaming on the PC or console, it was playing tabletop D&D or any other role-playing games out there. So then Arena came along, and I think we've all touched on Arena at certain points tonight, but when I saw Arena, especially after playing Hearthstone for so long, and I loved the Hearthstone format. I loved being able to play digitally. I could play anytime I wanted to against another real player. You didn't get that community feeling that you used to get playing across another opponent with Magic, but you still got that competitiveness that came with Hearthstone, that card playing ability that came with it. I loved all that. And then I saw Arena and I thought, this is just destroying Hearthstone. And this is getting me back into a game that I always liked, but just never really had the time or the inkling to get into. But as Shorty mentioned before, now that that's available and it's a lot more user-friendly compared to the old original online version, it's just got me sucked back in again. I'm happy to sit down, even if it's just to play one or two games a night or every second night. That's usually enough for me at the moment. But I do want to get away from this whole red aggro mono deck thing if I can.
expand your horizons.
I want to expand my horizons. I want to learn more about what the game's got to offer. And like Shorty alluded to before, you know, there's some mechanics of the game which I still manage to screw up, you know, like tapping creatures and that sort of stuff you should be tapping. But I think as far as that's concerned, I've got a lot better. And I think Arena has taught me a lot more about the strategy behind the game. But it hasn't really given me an opportunity to learn how to build decks and how certain decks work together in synergy. And it's the synergy that I want to learn. And I'm not getting that at the moment because all I'm really doing is jumping online, going to a couple of popular websites to go, oh, that's a good red deck. Great, I'm going to recreate that deck in Arena. And pretty much just...
To be honest, that's pretty much what we do as well. But
you guys have a good understanding of the synergy, the makeup of a deck.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
how certain cards work together.
Why they play certain cards.
Yep. Yeah, and like, you know, Chewy mentioned earlier in the podcast about playing certain cards at the beginning of a play, whereas I wouldn't understand how to do any of that. But that's what I'm really looking forward to learning is that, okay, well, if I've got a... I could do it in Hearthstone, but I knew Hearthstone very well. But in Magic, I don't know it anywhere near as well as I would like to know it.
Yeah. Well, it's a very, 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 very... about to jump into. And the thing that you hear a lot of high-level players, pros, that sort of thing, say is that there's no end to it. You can continue learning and continue learning. And like someone like who we mentioned before, John Finkel, who's widely regarded as the best of all time, is still learning. And if you sat down and had a conversation with him, he would say, yeah, look, I can still improve in this area and this area and this area and whatever. And that's one of the things that just draws you back into the game and just makes it such a good game and really is the best game that's around.
One of the other things I like about Magic too is that coming from a gaming background, you get lots of trolls, you get lots of aggro in those games, and you do get that in Magic as well. I mean, there are plenty of trolls out there, but my experiences the limited experience I've had so far is that when I go to a store and play, whether it's on a Friday night or I've been down to my local one a couple of times on a Saturday morning, everybody's really keen to get you in. They know you're new. They're more than happy to show you the ropes. And as far as they're concerned, the more players that come in, the better for them because it's just going to keep their hobby going.
Yeah, that's right.
So I find the community spirit is very good.
It does seem to be a pretty good community. Like you said, there's definitely trolls out there. And if you're on Twitter, I think all of us are on Twitter now. I'm literally only on there just to get decks from Arena deck lists and things like that. But you look on there and it doesn't take you more than 2 seconds to find somebody complaining about something or having a go at somebody or whatever. And that's in every community. And it doesn't matter what it is. Not just online stuff and gaming or whatever, that's across the world. But at your local level, at your local stores, 99.9% of the time, they're lovely people. They like you said, they're very welcoming. They want you there because by you being there, you're growing their game, which means they've got more people to play against and those sorts of things leads to more opportunities for everybody. So, I've had similar experiences where I've been to new stores and, yeah, very, very welcoming people. We randomly, like I mentioned sort of at the start, where we all live in and around Melbourne, all in different areas of Melbourne, but occasionally we're all in Geelong, which is about an hour and a half away from Melbourne for the weekend, which is where most of us will be this weekend. And we'll pop into the local store there. And every time we go into there, shout them out, Guff in Geelong. They're the guys that are there, Paul, I'm pretty sure his name is, the guy that runs the store. Always welcoming.
They're great. We've done a couple of pre-releases there.
They're great guys. And they don't know you from a bar of soap, but just, you know, come on in and you know, have a good time. We're all here. We all love Magic. So, they've always been pretty good. And for a new player like yourself, Scott, that hasn't had that much experience at tournaments, that's a really positive thing to hear, that that's been your experience when you've been to stalls. And to be honest, I've had similar experiences at all levels that I've played at. I don't think I've ever really had any negative experiences against opponents. Every now and then you get a few people that are a little bit odd, but they probably say the same thing about me, so that's fine. But overall, it seems to be a really good community and really welcoming, which is good for people trying to get into it like yourself.
There's always that one guy playing Esper Control who spams good game.
That happens. But Shorty and I, last year, we were talking about good experiences at stores. We were on holidays with the family in Singapore, and we went into Crayoga Games there on a Friday or a Saturday night, and it was like we were rock stars, you know, where people that come from a different country just to play at their store, and everybody was stoked that we were there, super friendly. Probably helped we bought a bunch of cards from them, but, you know, we played a modern tournament and all our opponents were, you know, amazing. We had a great time. So the community aspect of Magic is something that I've not experienced in any other game. I've dipped my toe into tournament Warhammer, and I walked out the door as fast as I possibly could. I had a terrible experience, and Magic was the exact opposite of that. It's great.
Yeah, that's good. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's people out there sorts of good experiences. I know there's been a lot of chatter about inclusiveness and things like diversity and all that sort of stuff. We're not going to discuss any of those topics because I do not want to go there, but it's good to know that we're all having a similar experience where the community is welcoming and people want to be there to help you and that sort of stuff. So hopefully for anybody listening to this cast that is in a similar boat to Scott, where you're a newer player and you're considering going to tournaments, hopefully that will give you at least enough of a push in the right direction to go, all right, well, you know, maybe I will go down to my local store and play a tournament and that sort of thing. So, you know, similar experience for me with my daughter, the two-headed giant games that we've played, it's very obvious for my opponents that she's seven and she doesn't know exactly what she's doing, but they're always very welcoming and very nice and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it's good to hear. But, yeah, for you, Scott, being the new player, we sort of mentioned it earlier on in the cast that we would like to help you improve. And I think one of the things you and I spoke about when we were sort of looking at getting this up and running is we can use you as a way to help our audience improve. So the discussion topics that we use for our shows are going to be aimed at you being the new player, which is also helping the people out there as well. And yeah, hopefully we can get you to a few more tournaments and eventually to some MCQs, and maybe one day you'll have more pro points than our resident pro player, Chewy, who has how many pro points, Chewy?
I have six.
Six. Oh, yep.
Yeah.
The most out of any of us, considering that the rest of us have zero. But I think that will pretty much do us for the first episode. Anybody got any last things they wanted to sort of go through? No? All good? It's a radio silence, so that's all good. All right, well, we'll just close out the show. So our plan will be to record again in 2 weeks. It's likely that our first couple of episodes will all come out at the same time, so that'll be a real treat for you. You get to listen to some back-to-back Magic Beans podcast, which will be I'm sure you might be able to stomach that. Once this first episode comes out, keep an eye out for a second one. You'll be able to find us on Twitter. So we do have a Twitter up and running, which is at MagicBeansCast, or our website, which is also MagicBeansCast.com. So you can head to either of those places to find our podcast, or just through the usual channels, which obviously if you're listening to this, you've already found that, so that's fine. We will have a Facebook up and running as well. I don't know. We have no idea how active we're going to be on those sorts of things. But if you follow those, then you're going to get all our information. Subscribe to the podcast so that way you're getting it every week or every fortnight, and that way you don't miss any of our thrilling episodes. So, yeah, I hope you've enjoyed it. I've certainly enjoyed this. This is a whole new experience for us, and we're all really excited to be doing this. As we sort of mentioned earlier, we've been speaking about it for quite a while. So yeah, we're looking forward to putting out a few more thoughts out there, hit on a few more of our discussion topics. We've got a nice big list of everything that we want to go through. We do have an email. That's magicbeanscast@gmail.com. Is that correct?
That is correct.
That's correct. Yeah. So if you are listening to this and you do think of something that you might like us to discuss, hit us up on Twitter, as I said, @magicbeanscast. Or flick us an email, magicbeanscast@gmail.com. And, yeah, hopefully we can get onto that topic. But for all us beans that are here tonight and the beans who are not here, we will see you next time.
Thank you very much.
So, guys, don't forget to check out YouTube as well.
YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a bloke on that. You really don't want to watch him again, but definitely check it out.
The balding middle-aged man, so we will I'll try to get something up there maybe once a week just to sort of get people used to us and hopefully we can win some games.
Sounds good. All right, we'll see everybody in a couple of weeks.
See you later, guys.
Cheers. Bye.